It is April 19th as I sit here right now and record this intro, but if you're listening anytime after April 20th, I will already be off the grid. I am headed on a cruise for a week, very much needed vacation. I realized the other day that I have had time off from work over the past couple of years or so, but I have not had a true vacation since I went to Hilton Head back in July of 2022. So this will come as a very needed break for me, but I will not keep you hanging while I'm gone. About 3 weeks ago, it's been now, I recorded an interview with Annie Wolfert. You'll get to hear it now. Annie was the perfect guest for this pod because she herself is a performer on a cruise ship, and she's been living on a ship for months now. So she was great to catch up with, and I think you'll really enjoy hearing about her journey all the way back from show choir at Fisher's High School in Indiana to the cruise line she's on today. I won't make you wait any longer. Hit the music. Let's start sipping. All right, 3 weeks from right now, I will be on a cruise myself, so I thought, who better to have on than a cruise performer herself, Annie Wolfert. Welcome to the pod. Thank you for joining me. It's midnight your time in Thailand, right?
It is. I'm in Bangkok, Thailand right now. So yes, 12-hour difference from here to Chicago.
Yeah, noon in Chicago. It's already April 2nd in Thailand, but thought I would have Annie on the pod. Annie, thanks for joining me.
Yeah, it is also a day.
Yeah.
Anytime.
Truly, completely wild.
Except only on my time, so not anytime, just my time.
yeah, totally. I wanted to start with your background. So it's just a very, your whole life is very intriguing to me. And so I'll kick it back all the way to like high school to start. So we knew each other growing up. Obviously, cool. You're like, 6 days different in age to those, my sister. Families are super close. Yes, families still are super, super close. All this kind of stuff. So right before you went into high school, you moved. You went to Fisher's High School closer to Indy for essentially a theater program, right?
Yes. I did a thing called show choir. If anybody knows what that is. But it was a big performing art program within the school. And so I kind of handpicked a high school that felt correct for that. And I'm glad that I chose the school that I did. It was amazing. I spent a lot of time there kind of just enjoying art and enjoying doing more of it than I would have been able to do at my previous school. But it wasn't really until I was maybe a 17, 16 that I was like, maybe I'll go to college for this. Like I had kind of always thought like it'll just be a thing that I do in high school and then just get a normal job and like settle down and whatever that is. And so I decided my junior year that I wanted to kind of do this in college. And so then I went through a whole entire audition process to get into a specific college because theater majors can't just pick the school and then major in theater. You have to get into the program and be accepted and all of those things. So I auditioned for 19 schools, 20 schools, something like that. Had to apply to all of them as well. Lots of college essays, lots of everything. Auditioned for all of them, and then I got into Ball State University, which is funny because I auditioned everywhere around the country and got into the school that's in my backyard. And so,
right where we grew up, and essentially where we met each other, exactly. Ironically, yeah.
Pretty much left Ball State and then went back to Ball State.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah. But it was good. It ended up being like a perfect fit for me. I loved my time there. I really didn't train much. I say that. I didn't really train like that intensely until college, probably.
Gotcha. So then
time to work on my voice lessons and time to dance and time to learn how to act. Like those things I really trained once I was 18, which is a little bit crazy and kind of different towards other females specifically in the arts world.
Yeah. So then you get to Ball State. Like when you get there, what do you necessarily think? Like, okay, what's my next step from here? I know you're 18 years old. When I was 18 years old, I was pretty confident I was going to be an optometrist. Clearly I am not that. I am not doing an eye doctor work right now, but at what point were you like,
check my eyes. I mean, I need new glasses.
Yeah, totally. Totally. That's why we hopped on here today. How did that go?
Yeah. So, that's the second half of the tricky part is that you're like, cool, I decided that I want to major in musical theater. What does that mean? I don't know. I don't know what that means. I'm 18. Everybody's like, cool, now I'll just be on Broadway next. But that's
a little difficult. Yeah.
After you start, it's a little bit difficult. And it's also like this big in the world of like all of the arts of all time. So you kind of learn that pretty quickly. And I remember learning that it was probably January of my freshman year that I realized that there were these things called like, I don't even remember what they're called, so that's awkward. they're like unified auditions for regional theaters. So basically,
okay,
take any professional theater. So in Chicago, we've got like the Goodman, we've got in Indianapolis, we've got Beef and Boards. In Utah, you've got Paper Mill Playhouse. In Jersey, you've got Paper Mill Playhouse. You've got all these different houses basically that have professional work. And so once I realized that there were all these regional houses, you kind of open up your world into, okay, every summer, what am I going to do in the summer? I'm going to try to go get work at these regional houses. You kind of start as you're an 18-year-old and like, I'm just going to audition for a couple. Nothing will really happen. But at least I'm starting like my auditions and getting out there and getting seen.
Yep.
And then as your time in college goes on, the better you get, the more trained you are, the better you have at getting those regional jobs. And basically you find out like, if you do regional jobs, if you do work that is professional, where you're getting paid and you're getting these credits, then when you move to New York and you go to audition for national tours, international tours, Broadway, West End, you have this resume then to back you up instead of, oh, I did Les Mis in college. Like nobody cares that you did Les Mis in college.
Makes
like,
sense.
That's
okay.
Cool that you did that, and that's cool that you got that training, and you got to figure out how to navigate a character and how to do all these things. But you didn't perform at a professional theater, so therefore that credit is basically like null and void.
Okay, makes sense.
Stupid. Stupid.
Very competitive process, then, I imagine.
Very, completely, absolutely ridiculous.
Okay, so then you get later in your college career, I guess we'll call it. I know for a while,
yes,
I'm trying to remember the timeline now. You started at Lego World. I remember Lego World time. Is that actually post-graduation or is that right before senior year? I can't remember when that was.
So because of my age, I was a COVID student, which means freshman year, again, you do the audition for the summer stock and blah, 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 and you try to get professional work. No. Okay. No problem. The second year, sophomore year, COVID, no professional work. Okay.
Great.
Move that out of the
yep.
way. Then you do junior year. Not really any professional work junior year because of the same problem. So
yep,
there goes
sense.
That. Okay, now we're at like senior year. So then we get into senior year. I get into this convention, which is a really, really competitive convention that is only for a senior in college or professional artists. So it's kind of taking a smaller group of people. So instead of opening up this general audition to 18 and up, they take like 22 to professional. Okay. And so I got into that convention my senior year. It was supposed to be in Memphis. And I got a really good slot. So basically I auditioned. They were like, yes, you get past our pre-screen. Send us more material. We'll find out where we rank you. I'm like, okay. So then I send in more rankings. I end up getting a really good spot. The convention gets canceled. It gets moved online. So lovely. I'm like, wonderful. Wonderful. That's great. I really wanted that to happen. So
just how you planned it.
And everything. Yeah. I finally am like, okay, this is my moment. Whatever. Yeah.
Yeah, just it's what okay. you needed, everything some more adversity. Yeah.
This is another roadblock. Just keep throwing them up.
Yeah, might as well.
Yeah, so then what came after that? Yeah, so then my senior showcase was kind of my next big thing. So when you're a musical theater student or an acting student or any theatrical design student, you'll do a showcase at the end of your senior year. Ball States is one in Chicago, one in New York, one in LA. And you have to audition for each one. So I got into our Chicago showcase and our New York showcase my senior year. So those were the two cities that I was going to go get sent to, do material for agencies, directors, producers, theaters, everything. I was going to do that there. And then we come back, see if anybody kind of bites. And then if they do, cool. If they don't, that's kind of it for your showcase.
Yeah.
And so,
this is all you're doing normal class, like you're doing normal classwork at the same time as doing this as well, right? Like,
correct.
Fun. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Not great, but it is what it is. So then my senior showcase in New York, there was a company called RWS Entertainment that came to the show. They basically get a folder with all of the headshots of all of the artists on stage and their resumes. And they're like, oh, next up is Annie Wolford. Okay, here's her headshot. Let's see what she's done in college or in regional work. And we'll see how pretty she is. And we'll see, like, they see all of these things. And then they watch me on stage and they're like, yeah, that seems like a good enough song. Okay, let's email her later. So then they put me into this hypothetical, like, yes pile.
Okay.
So basically I get contacted maybe the next day after my showcase from this company being like, hey, we liked your work at your showcase. We want you to submit to this link of your dance reel, your vocal reel, which is basically just highlights of my work.
Yep.
Your resume, your blah, blah, blah. They want all the stuff sent to this one link. So then I send it, never hear from them. I'm like, cool, that was fun.
Sweet.
Cool. You leave New York, you enjoy your trip. You get very used to just being like, and I'll never talk to you again. See ya. That becomes a very
it's probably just part of the business. You have to get used to that, but that can't be easy. Like,
absolutely. Absolutely, you have to get used to it. So then I can't remember when it was in my senior year, but sometime after my showcase, I was back at school and I got an email from this lady at RWS being like, hey, we found this job. You would be perfect for it. Let me know if you're interested. And I was like, what? Like, what is it? Like, tell me anything.
Can you give
me
some more information? Yeah.
Yeah. So I was like, okay, I have no work lined up. I have no plans after graduation. So I was like, this sounds great. Like, sure. Yeah. Tell me.
You'll take
tell
anything at this point. Yeah.
Exactly. And so I get another email that says that I'll be, there's a job opening at the Legoland Amusement Park in New York City. And so I was like, oh my gosh.
Just what you always dreamed of. I'm sure. Yeah.
I was like, this is amazing. And I remember the first time I read Legoland, it didn't process that it was like Lego. Like I thought it was like a company name. Like it was like I was just confused. Anyways, so I end up like long story short, I take this job. It's not in New York City. Newsflash. It's upstate. But only about 1 hour outside of the city. So it was quite fun. On my off days, I got to go in and all this stuff. But I was basically in a children's show as one of four people in the show. There were two humans and two costume characters. Okay. I was a human.
Nice.
I played Miss Annie. Yeah.
Oh, a perfect
the
role.
The highlight of my career. Like the. Yeah. I know. Like they really casted me perfectly for it. Yeah, I played like a teacher. It was a cute show. I did it 4 or 5 times a day, 6 days a week, for like 3 months.
Okay.
Yeah, that was crazy. And I think it was all by like chance, by whatever. There's this man that comes to watch our show. And he kind of was helping alter some of the script and fix the show because we were a first cast. So it was a new product that they were putting up at the theme park and they wanted to like kind of iron out some of the issues. And this man comes and really kind of took a liking to me and my work. In Legoland, like of all places, like he's like, wow, you're amazing. And so I don't know what I was doing, but I was
they got talent spotters out at Legoland. Like, you never know.
Listen, like I was really just singing, I guess. Count on me, Bruno Mars. Like I knock it out of the park.
That turns heads. It turns heads.
It does. What can I say? So this man comes and we get to talking and we were just having a good time all day. And then he was like, I think you're really talented. I don't think you should be here. I think you should be somewhere else. Here's my card. Keep me updated with what you're doing next. Like, just keep me updated. I just want to know.
Okay.
And I was like, cool. Like, cool. He wants to know about me.
Yeah. Flattering.
Good job. I know. I'm like, maybe he wants... Maybe I don't even know what this man did at this time. Like I knew nothing about him.
Yep.
He's on this business card now and I'm like, okay, I'll call him someday. Like,
yes.
I'll send him an email when I'm done. Maybe he'll get me a job. So then sometime in the middle of my Legoland experience, I got another job from my unified audition that I was supposed to go to in Memphis. But didn't. It was an online
thing.
So then this other company contacts me over email and is like, hey, we really liked your self-tape from UpDoes. Are you available between these dates and these dates? And I was like, I am. Like, guys, I'm working back to back to back. Like,
Stacking jobs. Very good.
Yeah. And so they were like, hey, we want you to be the lead in our musical and choreograph it. And I was like, say no more.
Yeah, dream job.
I'm a star. I'm a star. And then I come to find out that I would be doing not White Christmas, but a version of White Christmas that this man had written himself as a sequel to White Christmas. So
interesting premise. Okay.
Judy. Yeah, so like all the characters are the same. I would be Judy, the dancer. And then I'd also be choreographing the show. So it's like ultimately it's fine. It's good. Whatever.
Yeah.
Then it's like I find out it's like in Michigan. It's nothing wrong with Michigan, but like it's just kind of in the middle of nowhere. And then it's a dinner theater. They only serve turkey, like it's for Thanksgiving. Like it's just for Thanksgiving. I worked at a Thanksgiving restaurant. Like it was the craziest experience. I lived on a farm. Like I went and saw farm animals every day.
Yep. Okay.
And like I was getting, and that's the thing. There's a ranking system with regional houses, and they get certain pay based on that. And so this company is a lower grade, and they basically fund everything in-house. So okay. The payment that you get as an actor, not great.
I can imagine. Not great.
Yeah, but again, free housing. I was like 3 hours from my parents, so I was like, I'll get to go home for Thanksgiving. I'll get to go home on the weekends if I hate it. Like, I had 2 days off a week. Like, it was really a quite nice schedule. We only did matinees. Okay. So I was like, ultimately, it's not the end of the world. I got a stipend to be the choreographer, so I was like, it is what it is.
Yep.
And in the middle of all that, while I'm in the Christmas spirit, I had submitted also to RWS. So like all these things are happening at the same time. Like it's it's on top of each other.
Yeah. It seems like
you have a job and you're still looking for a job. Like what's happening? We don't know.
Yep.
So while I was prepping for that show, before I even got there, I had submitted to the company I just had worked for at Legoland. I had submitted to them because they were hiring for a cruise line called Azamara. And I was like, I've never heard of that cruise line. Oh, well, I'll just submit it anyway. They probably won't hire me. Like, but it's cool to just like,
worth a shot.
Maybe I'll get
throw it
a
out
couple
there.
More auditions. I had auditioned for a couple cruise lines at that point too, because I knew I wanted to travel. And so I was like, just another line, whatever.
Yeah.
I'll just go out and do it. And I had already had that like kind of in with the company a little bit. So I was like, maybe it'll work. Submit that. Never think about it again. I get to Michigan. I'm living my turkey dreams. Like, I'm giving you Christmas realness. And I get a couple emails back and forth between me and this woman at RWS. Being like, yep, love your stuff. We're sending you through to the end. Like, you're skipping all the rounds of auditions. We know you're good. We know your work ethic. We know all of these things about you. We're going to just skip you to this certain point in the audition process. We need you to submit this one video, and that's it. And I was like, easy peasy.
Yeah, seems easy peasy, very doable compared to all the other things you've explained.
And it's like a video, like I don't need to go to New York. I don't need to do anything. I submit this video. The song is a song that I had trained in college. Like it became known as like my song. Like the trolley song is my song.
That's Annie Wolford's song.
Like it just is a part. Yeah, it's a part of me. It became a big story. It was a part of my showcase auditions. Like it was just a piece that like kind of always fit.
Yep.
So then they sent me that. And after I got done laughing that I was going to be singing it, I was like, you know, it's a good sign. Like, it's a thing that, like, maybe this is it because that's my song.
Yeah, this is stars aligning moment.
Exactly. So I send that off. And again, you kind of just, like, forget about it. You send it and you're like, I'll never hear from them again.
Yep.
We go back to Michigan. We're still turkeying it up. Ga-ga-ga-ga-ga. I then get an email from them being like, hey, we want to, when you work on a luxury cruise line, you have to do an interview portion. Whereas on a bigger cruise line, you don't interview, which is like it's like a backwards kind of thinking, but
yeah, that does feel weird.
For example, if you work on Norwegian and you audition for one of their book musicals. So say I wanted to be in, like Jersey Boys, not me personally, but like, let's say someone's going to be in Jersey Boys on Norwegian. They do the entire audition process. And because of their performance structure on the ship, they never interact with guests as crew members.
Okay.
They perform and then they have guest privileges. So when they're in guest areas, they aren't crew members. They're like guest entertainers, basically.
Okay, interesting.
So they get a lot of privileges. They get to be treated as guests. Big ship, they have a lot of crew.
Yeah.
On smaller luxury lines, so Silver Seas, Azamara, Seabourn, any of these smaller ships where there's less crew, the performers get very close with the guests, and it becomes a big part of the luxury experience to interact with the performers and get to know them, and they are pretty much the face of the ship then.
Okay, gotcha.
So the interview process is really important, arguably more important than the talent.
Because you've got to be able to interact with the people on board. Okay.
You have to be able to interact with the people on board. It's like not a negotiable thing.
Interesting. Okay.
So I get into this interview and I'm like, okay, I need to learn everything about ships. I need to know exactly what questions I need to ask. I had like prepped this interview with my dad.
Yep.
We're ready. I'm gonna nail it. I get to the interview and it's a Zoom call, of course. Like, I don't need to be in person.
Yep.
It's a Zoom call. And it's this man I've never met. And he was like, hey, I'm just here to tell you a little bit about like the contract details that we're considering you for. And I was like, oh, this is so crazy. I was like, they really want me. Like, this is crazy. I just need to nail these questions and like, I'm good.
Yeah.
And so he tells me all the contract details. I'm like freaking out because it sounds amazing. And so he gets done with this whole spiel and he's like, do you have any questions? And I was like,
he hasn't asked you anything at this
what?
Point? Yeah.
He has asked me zero questions.
Okay.
So I was like, not really. Like, I might have asked him like one. I think I asked him like, is it hard if you only speak English? Like, we're gonna go to so many crazy places. Like, is that a difficult thing?
Yeah.
And he was like, no, it's an English speaking ship. Like, everybody has to speak English. You're good. And then he's like, any other questions? And I was like, no.
Do you have any questions for me? Or like,
I was like, this isn't how interviews go. This is very strange.
Yeah.
And so at the very end, he's like, okay, cool. I'm just going to go back, like review some things with the team. And then hopefully we'll have an email with like a decision tomorrow. And I was like,
what is going
on?
Did
I get it or did I not get it? Like, I thought now all of a sudden you were 100% wanting me and now you're like going to discuss again.
Yeah. And what are you discussing? Because all we've done is just listen to you talk.
I've said nothing.
Yeah.
Like, what are we discussing? How I look?
Yeah.
Like, how good my quality was? Like, I don't know. Yeah. So that was quite funny. And then probably not even a day later, I had an offer email from them. And I remember getting it about 1 hour before I had to be on a Zoom call for my Michigan show.
Oh, okay.
And I hadn't told them that I was like in this in between, because you don't tell people about jobs.
Yeah, that's just
as performers, because everything falls through. Everything, you don't get it. You just like,
yeah, you get
you're
very
just in auditions
used to
all the time.
Oh, we never
of
hear
course.
From you again. Yeah.
Of course. So I was like, I'm not going to tell them anything. I get this email that's like, congratulations, December 9th, you're going to be going to New York for 4 weeks. And then after that, we're sending you to South Africa. And I was like, what?
Life-changing email. Oh my gosh.
Life-changing email. And I remember my dad was working in the other room and he comes out and I was just like, I have to say yes. Like, I have to say yes.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
I was like, obviously I want to work on a cruise ship, but I wasn't ever planning on flying to South Africa. I was thinking like Florida, maybe.
Yes.
Like, maybe Europe.
Yeah. Like,
but like,
let's head down
South
to
Africa
Tampa,
was not on
Florida.
The table.
Yeah. Not South Africa.
They're like, see you in Tampa in a couple weeks. Like, cool.
You're like, oh, maybe I'll just drive. Like, no.
So I'm like a little bit panicky. And then I was like, I also have to get on this Zoom call. And like, now all of a sudden it's conflicting with the show by like a week and a half. So I was like, oh my God, like, what am I going to do? I've never had a back out of a job that I've taken before. Like, we're 2 weeks from going into rehearsal. Like, I can't just like leave.
Yes.
Basically. So I had this whole meeting with the director, who, it was a weird dynamic anyway, because I was co-directing, like I was his choreographer, but also one of his actors. So it was just a little bit weird of a dynamic.
Yeah.
But we came to an agreement, and he was like really huge on like, if you want to travel, go travel while you're young, do it. We'll basically double cast you with your understudy. So your understudy will learn the role equal that you will, but you'll perform the first 2 weeks and she'll perform the last two. And I was like,
okay, yeah,
no problem.
Very easy transition.
Because okay. Ultimately, one week's pay at this theater was, or no, it was 2 weeks of pay at this theater. My biweekly paycheck was 1 week of rehearsal pay, which is always a little bit lower than your ship pay anyway.
Okay.
So 1 week in New York was going to balance out the 2 weeks that I had left in the show anyway. So it's like,
this works,
I'm
perfect.
Really not losing any money.
Yeah.
Like, I'm actually breaking even.
Yep.
Yeah. So then.
So now you're kind of, now you're headed
worked,
to New York.
It worked out perfectly.
Yeah. You do the audition process
so
in New York
yeah.
for
so then,
what? Is that, you said 4 weeks?
Yeah. So then I was in rehearsals for 4 weeks. We learned four shows.
For
one show per week.
It's prepping for what? Was it a 9 month cruise? Something like that?
Yeah, an 8 month cruise.
8 month cruise. Okay.
So it's 9 months total. You do 1 month of rehearsal and 8 months on board.
Okay. Gotcha. So then you head to South Africa.
Yeah. Yeah. So then I flew to South Africa. My costume luggage never arrived. That was really fun.
Lovely.
I still don't know where it is. It's somewhere in the world.
Oh, still
Someone
to this
got a
day.
Bunch of costumes. Oh, it's never been found.
Awesome.
The legendary pink suitcase with my name on it. It's somewhere.
It's out there somewhere.
Yeah, so I flew to South Africa. Had a really crazy time in South Africa. That place is like, if you've never been anywhere in the world, like, take an Indiana girl who travel. I would say I'm pretty well traveled in the United States.
Yes.
Like,
I would agree.
With my sister living in Arizona and my other family living in North Carolina. Like, it was just a lot of traveling. My dad loves to travel. Like,
yeah, you moved around a little bit growing up, but yeah, totally.
I moved. Yeah. Like the whole thing. But I would still say, like, I live in a landlocked state. I don't live by the mountains. I'm not really a beach vacation person. Like, it's just I have a very, like, bland lifestyle, as people would, like, maybe look at it.
Yep.
And all of a sudden, you're like, pack your bags. You're going to South Africa. I get to South Africa. I'm, like, looking both ways on the street, being like, I don't even know which way the cars are coming from. Like, I don't even know what's happening right now. Which way are they coming from? Where's the stoplight? Like, is there a stoplight anywhere?
A little bit of They're a culture like, shock. Yeah.
Culture shock. Like, and then there's this weird, I can't even figure out a way to explain it, but like, I come on the ship and I get like these keys. So I've got like my key for my room, my emergency duties, and my ID.
Yep.
And I get this, and they're like, okay, never, ever lose it. And I'm like, done. No, I will never lose it. And so it becomes like a part of me. Like the way I check for my phone, I check for my keys. So I've got both.
Yep.
But day one on the ship, you like get on the ship, and then you can just like get off the ship. Like, I have nothing to do. I literally boarded the ship, went to all these trainings, like running around all day, go to a show, sleep, wake up the next day, and you can just get off.
And just go explore and be on your own. And
just like walk around. Yeah.
So they're like, wait a second, why do you trust me to do this? Like,
where I'm like, I can just go to the gangway and say, scan this, and they'll just scan it, and then I'm free, like free to go anywhere I'd like as long as I'm back in time.
that's kind of a mind-blowing thought.
That doesn't make sense. It is, because you get out of college and everything's so structured, and And before that, you're in high school and everything's structured. And anytime you travel somewhere, there's like, somebody's in charge, somebody is planning the things. And then suddenly you're flown to South Africa with a bunch of people that you met a month ago.
Yeah, you're 22, 23 years old. And
I'm 23 years old. And they're like, walk around the streets of South Africa if you'd like.
Good luck. Yeah.
I'm like, I don't even have connection on my phone. Like, I don't even, where's the hard map, please, sir? I need a hard map.
They're like, oh, crew, you know, ship leaves at 9 p.m. Be back then. You're like, wait, what? Like,
It doesn't make any sense. And now it's just life now. But it's like, when you first get here, it's just, what do you mean? What do you mean?
From Turkey, Michigan to South Africa. Yeah.
I'm like, I was supposed to be like serving like 2 seconds ago. And now I'm like, just free. I'm just free. And I know these crazy shows, and then you're just going to tell me when the show needs to go. And then I just do the show.
Yeah.
And that's the job.
Okay. So that is the job. When you're on the, like, what's a day in the life on the ship?
Day in the life on the ship. So this is, this kind of tricky, not tricky, but, it's the way I explained how, like, a big ship, you're a guest entertainer, basically. You're here to do the shows. You never interact with the guests. You're very separated. That's your job. You perform maybe 3 times a night. You do it every single night for 8 months.
Yep.
I then get here and find out that I've got 4 shows. Four shows total in my package.
Okay.
You get your package of 4 signature shows, and they're like, okay, each voyage, doesn't matter the length, you're going to do your 4 shows. So if you get on a 7-day voyage, you do 4 shows. If you get on a 21-day voyage, you're doing 4 shows.
Interesting. Okay.
You can do the math on how the rest of that works out.
Yes.
Yeah. So on top of the 4 shows, we have a thing called White Night on board. So it's basically a big party set on the pool deck. That happens every voyage. So that's like the 5th show. And then we usually do what we call Welcome Aboard Show. And it's just like a feature of all of the things you may see in the voyage from the entire entertainment team. We'll just perform like one thing. So then that's usually the first night. So that's 6 shows. So on a 7-day voyage, I'm pretty much performing every single night.
Okay. Yeah, that math works out
a little
better.
Just naturally. Yeah. Yeah, you're usually performing at least 5 of the 7 nights, if not all 7, if not 6, something like that. So then on a longer voyage, you don't have more shows. So you've got your 6 shows, and that's it. Like, there will be other nights where there's guest entertainers on board. We might have magicians. We might have ventriloquists. We might have piano bar, we might have a quartet. Like, all these different people get brought in.
Yeah.
And they are also the source of entertainment.
Okay.
So then but a day in the life, so instead of me being like, I only perform 4 times this voyage and that's it.
Yeah.
The way that I make my money is we are also the activity team here. So on this ship, there's 6 people in my cast. And there's the 6 of us that run all of the activities on board.
Okay.
So we've got an activity host on board that basically plans everything for us, and then we just kind of execute it. But a day in the life for me could look like morning, I have to do a ship walk. So I walk around the ship into our areas that I take care of. I organize some books, I turn on some music, change the Sudokus.
Okay.
Lay out the ping pong paddles and make sure the ping pong table is all clean and all those things. Then I go and do morning trivia. So then I've got a 20 question trivia every morning. Then sometimes there's a brain teaser after that. I could do any kind of brain teaser, like anything you can think of. We've got a bunch of different ones. So I would do that. Then usually you have the whole 10 o'clock hour till 3 o'clock hour free. So even if I'm working all day, I can get off in port. I can go do things for a couple hours.
Nice.
Then like 3 o'clock, 3 o'clock, you might have a game. So you might have like ping pong or darts or golf or beanbag toss, like one of those. You've got a game, and then you've got afternoon trivia and music trivia. So those happen every single day.
Okay.
No matter where we are, no matter if it's a port day or a sea day, whatever. If it's a sea day, we've got a bunch of random activities that get thrown into the mix at random times. So you're working much more frequently. And then if it was a show day, 6 o'clock sound check, I come into the cabaret. Sometimes it's a sound check. Sometimes if we have new band members, we do a full run of the show. Sometimes if we have a reblock, if somebody's out of the show, then we have to do a full reset, things like that. So then I'll do that at 6, and then show time at 8:15 and 9:30. And so then I'm in the cabaret pretty much for 3 hours, and then I'm done by 11 p.m.
That's truly an unreal life. Like, I don't know. I can't imagine just like, yeah, it's like
so funny.
It's like, it sounds awesome, but I just can't imagine like that being my day to day of just waking up every day.
And it's like, and my day is different every day. Like I get a schedule every day and I'm like, oh, I'm not working today. Wow. Got my day off tomorrow.
That's truly crazy. So that's life on the ship.
Yeah.
And then off the ship, like you said, I'm assuming like, all right, you dock in Thailand, and if you're not working, like, is it once again the same situation of that you said in South Africa of just like, hey, be back at this time, but you're free to go wherever right now?
Absolutely, yeah. So,
and how many countries have you been to at this point?
Like, oh, God, I should have counted before I got on this call. If I remember correctly, my uncle actually did the math for me. I never actually calculated it, but my last contract, I went to 26 countries, I think.
Okay.
25. I got confused. There's a couple like territories that I'm not sure like what category we're fitting under. So it's somewhere between like 23 and 26, somewhere in there. And then this contract, I am on a world cruise, which is a fun fact.
Nice.
So I started my contract and did 2 months in Europe, and I visited, I think it was just 2 new countries in Europe that I hadn't touched in my last contract. So I added 2 to that list, and then we crossed the Atlantic at the end of November.
Okay.
Then we did an entire Caribbean season for Christmas. So all of December was spent in the Caribbean. So all of those places were new. But again, those are a bunch of territories to other places, so that gets confusing.
Yep.
And then January 5th was when we started our world cruise, and it is April 2nd. So what, 5 months?
4 months, three.
4 months?
Yeah.
4 months into our world cruise. And I think it's a 6-month world cruise or a 5-month world cruise, something like that. So we're almost there.
Yeah.
But January 5th, we said hello to like 200 guests, and we've yet to say goodbye to them. But from that point on, we started in Florida, and we crossed to the north side of South America. Then we crossed the Pacific, which let's not talk about that. It's horrible.
Too long.
it took a month to get to New Zealand.
Oh my God.
There's a lot of islands in the middle, but there's also a lot of weather. So there's a lot of surprise sea days and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah. Okay.
Then we get to New Zealand, Tasmania, Australia. We just finished that season. And then about a month ago, we left Australia, had a 21-day cruise to get up to Hong Kong. And now we're doing Hong Kong to Singapore right now. So I think it was like 45 new countries just on this contract. I have no idea if that number is correct.
Gosh. So you're
by the end,
you're 24 years old and you're at what, 70-ish countries? Like, it's kind of insane. It's truly insane.
Yeah. Six continents. I'm hoping to hit the 7th this next year. We'll see if it happens.
Okay. Gotcha. Nice.
It's in the making. So we're working out the details right now. I'm hoping it'll happen. Usually like beginning of next year.
Do you have a favorite spot?
I do have a favorite spot, and I know you know my favorite spot.
Oh, so it hasn't changed. Okay.
You know, and I actually think about this one a lot. So my favorite spot.
It's yeah, still KOTOR.
Yeah. KOTOR Montenegro.
Yes.
I got to go back on this contract, so I got to go back like my first week on board, which was great.
Oh, that's great.
It was so great just to be back and like to calm down for a second and like, because install is really crazy for us. And so it was really nice to just kind of like get off in a place that's familiar and something, a place that I love and like all that. So that is my favorite. I also have new ones to the list, I think.
Okay.
I'm not sure where they go on the list, but the new ones so far. I knew at the start of this contract that there would be somewhere in the Pacific that would be more beautiful than Bora Bora. So I knew, like, in my mind, everyone thinks, like, Bora Bora, wow, so beautiful, like, all this stuff. And I knew it was going to be beautiful, but I knew that there was another place. Just because of how my last contract went, I'm like, there's a small place people don't know about. Yeah, I'm like, it's a less touristy thing, like, there's something.
Yep.
And I found it. So the place is called Morea.
Okay.
It's in one of the like Tahitian islands. It's in like Papeete, Tahiti, like that area. You can't see it on a map, obviously. It's way too small.
Yep. But I feel I bet that adds Morea, to it too. It's just like people don't know about it. It's so small. You don't find it. You don't like pull up your
absolutely.
United or Southwest app and you're like, oh, what's this place? Like, it's part of
One way ticket to Morea, please.
Yeah,
like,
it's the hidden gym, the hidden gym aspect that makes it that much better.
Absolutely, we had an overnight there, and so I got to, and I had a day off, so I spent an entire day walking around this island. They've got the little huts in the water, of course. The water is like as teal as it can be, like just as. Completely as teal as it can be. You can see right to the bottom. You can see like the patches of reef everywhere.
That's so amazing.
Yeah, just like, yeah, and like mountains galore just everywhere. It surrounds you. I did a hike that day. It was so beautiful. I went to the top and like could see everything from the top, which was unreal.
Really just memories of Muncie, Indiana, I'm sure. So that that's awesome.
Listen, it was very similar.
Yeah,
it was. yeah, that one was really cool. My second one that I'm adding to the list is Thailand.
Oh, okay. So where
and
you
I'm
just
here.
Yeah,
I'm here
where
right
you
now.
Are right now.
Yeah, Bangkok is a really, really cool city. I don't typically put cities on my list.
Yeah.
But this was a very, very cool city. We've got a lot of places. I went to a temple today. I'm still trying to figure out if it's a Buddhist temple or a Hindu temple. And I don't know if there is a difference or if there isn't a difference. I don't know enough about.
I'm not well versed enough either to know.
No, and I wish I was because it would have been cooler. But I went to some temple today and almost died in the heat. But it was absolutely breathtaking. Like pieces of like each piece of stone is like the size of my fingernail and like handcrafted together and everything is like twinkling in the sun because it's all like diamond. Like it's crazy. Like it was a palace at one point for some emperor. Like I need to know more.
Yeah.
I need to know more.
As soon as we finish up this call, I got to research this. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm like, look up the Grand Palace. That's where I was today.
Okay. We'll do.
Yeah. So I would put Thailand. A lot of people have told me from working on ships that Thailand is one of the most beautiful places. We're going to a place, not tomorrow, but the next day, that everyone loves. It's called Koh Samui. I probably won't be able to get off, but everybody says it's like beautiful. So we'll see.
Very exciting.
Maybe it'll get added to the list.
Yeah. Okay. Two final things for you. I won't hold you too much longer.
Sure.
No,
it's okay.
Flip side of the fun part. What's the hardest part of being on a ship?
There's a couple things that are hard. Being away from your family and or people that you love is hard.
Yeah, I imagined that was going to be the hardest, but...
Yeah, it is, but it's in weird ways. I didn't really struggle at all in my last contract. I loved my cast. My last contract was like a dream.
Yep.
There's been a couple struggles just with this contract in general. There's just like not as clicked together, just struggles like with the work and things like that. Like there's just outside things that kind of test you a little bit more, and if you don't have a strong system with you here, it can just get a little bit exhausting. So that's a little bit tricky. This was the first time I spent Christmas away from my family, and my birthday is the day after Christmas, and so that was just a really difficult time to be at sea.
Yeah.
And it's so beautiful here, and it's so decorated, and it's like everything you could wish that Christmas was.
But it's just a little different without those loved ones. Like it's
it totally is.
You can have the prettiest Christmas tree there is, but at the end of the day, it's kind of like,
absolutely,
you want those people. Yeah. So that makes sense.
And honestly, like Christmas has always been on like a random day with my family, just the way that it kind of worked out with my sisters going to other families and things like that.
Yeah.
But my birthday was always the same. And so Christmas itself was honestly fine this year, where it was like, oh, it's kind of a bummer not to be together, but whatever. And then the minute it was midnight, everybody sang to me on my birthday, and I just started like crying. It's just like, I was like, it's so nice, and I love that you're all celebrating me, but like nothing will make me.
Yeah, no, it just can't compare.
Happy enough today.
Yeah.
No, it can't at all.
Yeah. That makes sense.
Yeah. So, yeah, that was kind of hard, this contract. Ship-wise, just like in general, sea days are really difficult.
Yeah. I imagine they get a little
so
repetitive, monotonous.
Yeah. It's fine. When you're in like a Europe season, you kind of, or a Caribbean season, there's like one sea day.
Yeah, they're all days. Everything's so close together. Yeah.
Maybe a back-to-back sea day. Maybe. And this contract has been a lot of sea days. Like, I should just count how many at the end of this contract, how many there have been. And fun fact, in case you didn't know this or anybody else didn't know this, there's a war happening in the world.
I think I did hear something about
and
this.
So,
yeah.
Yeah. So there's a lot of ships right now that are on the Asian side of the world that have to get back to Europe, and none of us can. So that has made things very testy within the ship community. Who's doing what? Where's everybody going? How are you getting to Europe? All these things. And so our ship has made the decision that on April 26th, we will cross from Dubai around Africa to get to Venice. And if you look on a map, they're not close. So
yeah, that's a lot of sea days, long trip.
Yes,
yeah.
So it'll be, yeah, it's 36 days total.
Oh.
And 29 sea days. So
that's crazy.
It will be a lot. Our days in port are not days. The most I think we have is 7 hours in one port, because it's just to refuel basically, and then we sail again.
Yep.
So that will be really tricky, because the last time I did basically a month at sea was the South Pacific, and that was really difficult.
Yeah.
So hopefully it will be fine. We have less guests when we're doing that. We'll only have about just under 200.
Oh, okay.
So hopefully it will all be fine, but yeah, it gets a little bit.
Yeah, that makes sense.
If you haven't seen land for a while, you also forget to go outside sometimes. So I could go 4 or 5 days without even stepping outside. And like, that sounds silly, but like, you just don't.
That's
like,
kind of a wild concept.
Like,
yeah.
Working.
When you're on the ocean.
Yeah, I'm just like, yes, exactly. I'm like, oh, look out a window. But I just forget sometimes that I'm like, that's why you're irritated, is because you have been inside with repurposed air.
Yes. Yeah.
For 4 days.
Yeah. That would do it. That would do it.
Go sit outside. Like, just go sit outside.
Final question I had for you, and sure. This may be, we all heard the beginning of this call, so it could be anything, but I just wondered, like, okay. Long-term plans for Annie Wolfert, like, it seems like it,
the you might, question.
Yeah, you might just pull up your phone and something will change, and, you know, the next thing you know, you're headed to South Africa, but what Absolutely. Do you see? Like, I think that part's intriguing about your life, if it's truly just like,
yeah,
day to day.
I long story short, have no idea. I have no idea.
Yep.
And I tell people this when we do Q&As here, that it's hard to pinpoint one dream that I have.
Yeah.
I don't think that's a bad thing. I struggle. No, and I think it's hard as a performer to have a it's such a back and forth, and I feel so differently about it all the time. If you have one dream and it is a diehard dream, so if I was like, I have to be on Broadway, I have to, it's my biggest dream, I have to be on Broadway, everything else that I do will feel like a failure if I never get to Broadway.
Yeah. And it's,
and so I, yeah, so I,
it's hard to go around all these countries, like, you're 24 years old doing like all that kind of stuff, and you can't frame that as like, gosh, this is such a failure. Like, it's not. That is not a failure.
Right. It's not. It's not at all. And it's like, this is what I wanted. I wanted to travel so bad, and I get to like perform while I'm doing it. It's amazing.
Yes.
Yeah, I do not see myself at sea forever. I love being at sea. I'm very good at being at sea. So there's work that I could do at sea that I might explore. There's like guest entertainers where I would basically fly onto a ship for 7 days and then fly off.
Oh, okay.
So
yeah,
I've looked into kind of transitioning maybe into that a little bit. I just built my first solo show. It premiered last voyage. So yeah, I'm super excited about that.
That's very cool. Congrats.
Yeah, so that would be one thing that I would have to have two shows if I was a guest entertainer, so I would just need to build the second show.
Okay.
Yeah, so then that's like one option. I've always wanted to, obviously I want to be on Broadway, like, sure, everybody wants to be on Broadway.
Yeah.
I've recently thought maybe I want to be on the West End.
Okay.
It's the London version of Broadway, basically. I've taken a big liking to Europe. And even though the UK is not technically in the EU, it would be nice to be in that part of the world, I think. I think I fit very well there.
Yeah, I think that'd be awesome.
That's like a thought right now. Yeah, that's a thought right now. London feels less scary to my family for some reason than like anywhere else in the world. If I was to be like, I'm moving to Paris, they'd be like, no, no. but for some reason London, they're like, yeah, so that'd be kind of cool, whatever.
Okay,
whatever. I've always wanted to be a Rockette. Maybe I'll be a Rockette. I keep missing the auditions because I live at sea, so I can't do much about that.
Gosh.
But
yeah,
yeah, that would be fun, at least to go to their auditions. I would like to at least do that once.
Yeah, that'd be awesome.
Yeah, that's like, those are like not plans at all, but those are like the plans also.
No, that makes total sense.
My direct plans right after this, I forced myself not to audition for anything. So
okay,
I'm going home.
A little break.
I'm going home after this.
Yes.
I am. I was like, I need to be home. I need to rest. I had 6 days off between my last contract and this contract. So
yep.
I was like,
and I remember that, and those were not really days off. Those were like,
they weren't. They were like, go to this doctor and go to this doctor and go to this doctor and go to the store and get your nails done and go visit everybody in your family.
Yes.
And like,
yeah, our families had breakfast together, and that was probably as relaxing as it got in the entire 6 days that you were there. Like,
I agree. And I was still meeting someone new, and I was still seeing the same sort. Like,
yep.
It's just It would be nice to do all of those things, but like within a month's time.
Yeah. Yeah. Even just a month break. Yeah. That makes total sense.
Like that would be good. So I'm going home. I'm very excited to go home. My sister just moved home, so I'm gonna like not have to fly across the country to visit her. I can just go home.
Yep.
That will be really nice. I've got a lot of wedding. I've missed a lot of weddings, and yet I've still got a lot of wedding.
Yep.
So I've got three weddings in June that I'm gonna go to, and then one in September. So I'm quite excited to be home and around for all of those.
That's so cool. Very exciting.
One of my weddings is in Glasgow, so I'm going back to Europe.
Ah.
And
Some
yeah, so
like
at
a
the
friend
beginning of
from the ship.
July. Yeah, my last roommate.
Ah, awesome.
I know. Yeah, she got engaged the day we got back from our contract.
Oh, actually, I think you would show. I feel like you showed pictures.
Probably.
Yeah, I do remember that
Probably.
now.
It was
Yeah.
like the talk of the town.
Yes. That's awesome.
Yeah, it probably happened like what, 2 days before I saw you, because it was all like
It was, I mean, it's all in a six-day window that it had to have happened. So yeah,
Exactly.
makes sense.
Exactly.
All
Yeah,
right.
it was, yeah, I'm very excited.
That's awesome. Happy for you. Glad we could do this. Thank you for coming on. Really enjoyed it.
I have one
Oh.
surprise for you.
Oh, I'm excited.
I know. So today, when I was at the mall, we typically get dropped off at malls if we have a shuttle bus.
Okay.
Today, when I was at the mall,
Yes.
I came across this place that I think you may have heard of. And I've never seen it anywhere else except for Chicago. So the fact that I found it in Bangkok, Thailand, quite amazing.
I'm so. Oh my gosh, there's Garrett popcorn in Bangkok, Thailand.
So for all the Chicago people out there,
That's incredible.
you can go to Bangkok with a happy heart.
I've always just been going down to Michigan Avenue. How dumb of me. I should have
I
just
know.
been flying over to Thailand.
Think outside the box,
Yeah.
people. Think outside the box. You can go to Thailand.
Truly
I thought
crazy.
you'd enjoy that. I thought it was perfect timing that I
Yeah,
found that
I
today.
had no clue what you were going to show me. I was like, oh my gosh. But
Could have been anything.
yeah, that's awesome. Thank you, Annie.
Of course.
Really enjoyed it. That was Annie Wolfert. Super fun interview. Thanks again, Annie, for joining. That is all I have for you now. If you've enjoyed the podcast, don't forget to subscribe, rate 5 stars, tell a friend to listen too. You can find me on social media at Sip of Naderade, and you can subscribe to the YouTube channel that can also be found at Sip of Naderade. Annie's interview, it's already up there, and there'll be many more fun things on the horizon. Thanks again. I'll be back after vacation, but for now, I hope your thirst is quenched.